think about it. Everybody, welcome to Reporting is Eligible, where the intro that you guys aren't hearing is definitely going to be better than the show is going to be, but that's all right. It'll still be a good show. I'm Paul Noonan of Acme Packing Company and the Shepherd Express, and I'm very, very tired, as you probably heard on the baseball podcast. So let's talk about Pittsburgh, which was a fun game, a good game, even though they lost. It was entertaining. It was better than the last few. So first of all, to help me out in Urban Wauwatosa, as per usual,
it's J.R. Radcliffe, trending sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This is a low point in Wisconsin sports because the Wisconsin Badger football team has crossed a threshold to the point that they are maybe not even bowl eligible this year for the first time in my adult life. The Brewers have lost their manager and are going to hire the bench coach, which is fine, although not that exciting.
It's not inspiring.
Not inspiring. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
The Milwaukee Bucks are performing well below expectations. They're still okay. They're still fine, but they're supposed to be a championship contender right now. Oh my gosh, they're not.
They're not. Yeah.
It has gotten to the point that a encouraging loss is the best we can hope for. And the Packers in Pittsburgh was that. An encouraging loss. This is the highlight of the week.
You left out Badger basketball, I think, which
on purpose.
Ah. It's rough. It is rough. But the Brewer thing, man, I knew they were going to do that. I suspected they were going to do that. And the best thing you can say about it is maybe they'll be able to keep doing the same thing. You know, he's been around. He's seen how they operate. I assume the players like him okay. Yay for that.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. That's all I got, though. But you're right. Close loss is the best we can get. That's all we got.
We never get to this place in Wisconsin sports. We are, I don't want to even say we're spoiled. We've had a really good run. We haven't had this nadir at any point. There's always a team that's building towards something great. And the Bucks, again, might still be that team. But it's tough right now out there. It's tough.
Everybody's got dark ages.
But it looks like Marquette is going to beat Illinois tonight. I'm Matt. You can call me Mattel, back in Packing Company, Meme Weaver, and General Twitter Rabble Rouser.
Shouts to the 8 Marquette fans, all of whom are very passionate.
Yeah, and like half of them who are in my DM.
Of course they are. They're in all DMs. They live in the DMs. That is where the Catholic faith thrives.
It is.
Isn't that where your brother went?
No.
Oh, I thought Danny was a Golden Eagle.
He definitely is not. Yeah. 100% not.
Marquette's very good.
They are.
I honestly shouldn't discount them. They are niche. I don't care what the Marquette fans will tell you. They are niche, but whatever. Like, they're outstanding. They're tremendous. They did get a good win tonight on the road in Illinois. Shaka Smart is very good.
They hired a good coach, unlike everybody else.
There you go. There you go.
Well done, Marquette. That was good of you.
to loop it back into football, we have now reached a point in Packers Twitter discourse where people are using LeBron pejoratives for Matt LaFleur.
That's fun, yeah.
People on my timeline referring to him as LaFraud.
I've seen LaFail. I've seen a lot of that.
I was like, did they call him a stinky goat or something? I really didn't understand where you were going with that, but I get it now.
Yeah.
I get it now.
So, like, variations of LeBron have now entered into the LaFleur territory, and it is big.
We at some point will need to discuss, because I, being a rube, do not understand what the hubbub is over whether or not they have a certain personnel on the field, like LaFleur getting upset that people don't seem to understand, and the people who don't seem to understand are more like, actually, coach, we maybe weren't so wrong. I don't know. Somebody has to get that to me, and I don't know if now is the time.
We can start. I mean, the rundown is
we can absolutely start with
that. It's very loose this week. We should just start with that. So, and Matt, do you want to intro that concept?
Okay, so basically everybody is crapping on the Packers for only having two down linemen in an obvious run situation against 11 personnel, which means one running back, one tight end.
Right. Can I pause?
Yes.
Is it not always an obvious running situation when Kenny Pickett, who is in fact magnitudes worse than Jordan Love, is on the field as your quarterback? Is it not always an obvious running situation? Yeah,
we can expand the obvious running situation by the goal line to the obvious running situation of this entire game very easily. That is correct, yes.
Okay, great.
Kenny Pickett threw for 126 yards in this game and a 75 passer rating. Like, he wasn't good.
He wasn't good, but he didn't need to be good because they ran for 200 yards and both running backs were insanely good and we couldn't stop them. And there's no reason to be afraid of Kenny Pickett. So you can just go and put a bunch of big guys and stop the run because he has a bad arm. He's got tiny hands. He hasn't been good all season. He hasn't been good last season. Kenny Pickett's like a one read thrower. Don't be afraid of Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett sucks. He's very bad. But yeah, what Matt is saying is correct. Like Joe Barry likes to play nickel at all times, especially against 11 personnel. And 11 personnel, you know, you kind of theoretically need the extra defensive back to cover the third receiver, except when the team is obviously suckering you into bringing that guy on so they can power run against you, which they do all the time to us. And like every game this season, there is some stupid video clip of us having two down linemen, you know, two big guys, and then Gary and Smith, who are not good at the, you know, Smith's okay against the run, but Gary is not, famously, not good against the run, and then a bunch of DBs, and then the other team is like all power linemen, and the receivers spread way out, and then our guys get plowed 7 yards downfield. Happens every game, every single game, and they never learn, and they never change, they never do anything different, and that was the hubbub, and so the question was, hey, why you got two down linemen in this situation, Matt? And Matt saying, actually, our edge rushers are down linemen. That was the response.
And so you have two stand-up outside linebackers playing like nine technique, and then and so you've got a wide open hole in the middle. Like, yeah, technically there's four dudes on the line of scrimmage.
Right. And this was definitely technically, Matt, you might be right, but your problem is that one of your linebackers is a safety, and one of your down linemen is Rashawn Gary, who doesn't hold the edge and doesn't weigh that much and doesn't play the run and
doesn't even try for the run, really.
Correct. I mean,
he's there to kill a quarterback.
Not his job. Not what he's paid for.
I'm so tired.
Yeah,
with
same.
The Joe Barry stuff. We're going to play out the string. Everyone knows this. It's not like Joe Barry is going to get fired now. And I realize that the defense, if you're picking your strength, has been better than the offense this year. So it's hard to really even point the finger, except there's so many ways you can point the finger.
And as we discussed last week, the strategy they used against the Rams would have worked against the Steelers. It was the your quarterback sucks strategy. It's why they didn't get run last week. And Pickett sucks too. He doesn't suck as much as Brett Rippon does, but he sucks. You just had to do the same thing. That's all you had to do, and you win this game. You absolutely win this game, and he didn't. He played the Steelers like a normal, like balanced offensive team with a good quarterback, which is not what they are.
So, I mean, like, we have to speculate what he's thinking there. What is he thinking there?
I suspect that he sees Pickett's sort of counting stats and the fact that Deontay Johnson is a pretty good wide receiver and George Pickens is a pretty good wide receiver, and he sees a good passing offense, rather than looking at like efficiency numbers and like scouting on Kenny Pickett, which really is like Kenny Pickett gets his first read, and if he's not open, he runs. And he throws bad scramble passes, and that's what he is. It seems like a very lazy counting stat. Actually, Pittsburgh can pass decently read on this. That's what it looks like. There's no other reason for it. There's no reason to be doing that. And especially after you get gashed, you know, a dozen times or so, even if you came out that way, maybe you should just, you know, flip the script at that point.
Yeah.
Well, you know what they say, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me 18 more times. Shame on
nepotism.
My two down linemen.
Shame on Rod Marinelli.
Nepotism. All right, well, this game was one of the better games they've played this year, even though Josiah DeGuara with a whiff that is kind of an all-timer on a special teams play cost them a game, even though...
Does that even count as a whiff? Because whiffs require an effort.
Yeah, that's a caught-looking.
Yep.
Caught
he just locked up.
That is what happened to Christian Yelich at the end of the 2021 playoffs when it was a curveball down the middle and he just watched it go by, and that was the end of the season. Yeah. There is a weird offsides penalty. There is a lateral that should have resulted in a game-changing touchdown that no one... Even on
that
replay,
goddamn play,
that was awful.
But it was a good game. It was good.
It was a good game. It was a good game. The offense played well. They really, really did. Outside of a couple little snafus, but you know, a lot of that was special teams. And That's what I think why we can be at least a little excited about this game. A lot of the things they did well against the Rams, we're like, who cares? It's the Rams. They showed up again. Like, Luke Musgrave. Hey, that's what you're supposed to be doing with Luke Musgrave. That's 2 weeks in a row. One more, and it becomes a trend. And that's all. That's good stuff.
Shout outs to all my Six Sigma folks there. You need 3 data points to have a trend.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the receiving core is rounding into form, and the irony is that Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs are outside of that, that it's Luke Musgrave, it's Jaden Reed, and it's Dontayvion Wicks, who I think is, I, at this point, has gotten everybody's attention.
He's good.
I think he's actually,
yeah.
Everyone sort of understands that he's good.
I'm not sure how
and
many...
Romeo Doubs made a play, but...
I'm not sure how many more weeks we can ride the Dontayvion Wicks over-under, JR, for...
I don't know, man. So I got cheeky this week. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
So his over-under was 12.5.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
And I told everybody to take the alternative over of 25. Because if he hit 12.5, the over-under odds were like -115 something like that. For him to hit 25 was like +160.
Yep.
I was like, hammer that over.
The Wicks over-under is at 5 weeks in a row. And so all of us are rich now. Not really, but all of us have. Rich in spirit.
So yeah, their young receiving core is doing kind of what you hope they would do midway through this season, and that's show signs that they can actually be an NFL receiving core down the line. That's great. Tucker Kraft can block.
Jaden Reed's really good.
Jaden Reed's really good. The Doubs Watson thing is concerning. I know you wrote about Doubs at Acme Packing Company. You were very down on him. Christian Watson, I think, is kind of the main character
of this game. I'm down on Watson,
too.
It's just everybody can see that one.
Sure. He's the main character of this game, unfortunately, in a main character on Twitter sort of way. I think he caught 2 of 7 targets. They intercepted 2 balls that were headed for him. He is not hanging onto the ball. He's not good.
He's not.
I mean, you can't tell me the talent isn't there, right? Like, he clearly still has some of these skills. And it still is only his second year. You know, the whole Davante Adams thing hovers over every Packers receiver who's having a bad second year. Talk me through this, Paul. Talk me through this.
I'm not super optimistic on Watson just because
I know you're not.
There's not a lot of development in terms of soft skills. Like, he's tall and he's fast, and that's what they used him on last year. And I do wish they'd give him a couple more jet sweeps, but the first interception where Patrick Peterson was on him, he was looking at the ball and just kept drifting backwards. The body control thing with him, which is also a talent thing, is a problem. He times his jumps wrong. He does not read where the ball is going very well. And
he has also never come back to a ball in his career.
He's never come back to a ball. He only goes forward. He needs
which is a problem for a quarterback who notoriously underthrows his receivers.
It is a problem for that, yes.
It's also a problem when you only have 15 yards of space to work with, so you can't just outrun the
by
guy.
The end zone. They should never throw to him by the end zone. Like, I ripped on Doubs a lot, but at least Doubs can outmuscle people in the end zone. That is a skill that he can actually do. Watson just is useless within 20 yards of the end zone, completely useless. And I think he might be a guy you just have to scheme. Like, you either have to MVS him or treat him like Debo and just give him stupid space throws where he is counted on to get yak, and hopefully that does it. He's a third receiver. He's not a one. You get him matched up on a slot guy or a third corner, and maybe you can do some business. But he caught the first 2 passes that were thrown to him in this game. They were scheme throws. They were the first 2 passes of the entire game for the Packers. And he went 0 for 5 after that when things got more improvisational. And it's bad. It's not good. He caught 2 of 7 targets and had 2 interceptions, both of which I think were his fault. The second one looked uglier because it was right to somebody, but I believe post game it seemed like he ran the wrong way. He broke the wrong way on his route, which maybe shouldn't be thrown to him there, but bad, very bad.
I felt like a genius on that last play though. I was at the bar, and because the game wasn't on TV for me, and I was like, hey guys, check this out. They're gonna rush 4 and then just drop everybody else to the goal line.
And they did.
hey, that sounds dumb. And I was like, that's not...
perfect time for a throw short of the goal line or a hook and ladder or something like that, too, which is what you run in that situation. And they didn't.
I mean, at that point, why not just run or swinging gate.
Yeah, swinging gate's a great idea. Anything like that. Just, you only need one block or one broken tackle and you score there. It's actually not a smart defense to put everybody at the goal line unless you know the other team's going to be stupid. The other thing about Watson that we do have to be cognizant of is a lot of his talent is bound up in that athleticism, and he has had a lot of injuries now. He had them in college, and you know, he has missed a lot of games with soft tissue injuries and hamstrings, and those do stack up and start to sap that a little bit. He is fast and can jump high, but that might not be quite as extreme as it was last year. Those take a toll on you.
So Dobbs caught a fade did make a catch. And I know, again, you wrote a lot about him and you're not impressed with him, but I don't remember specifically Davante Adams year two, how lost he was and what it was that was holding him back. And if there were flashes that he would eventually become what he became, I just want to compare. Okay.
Everybody says it was his ankle, right? But like, he also dropped everything.
He did.
And he never fought through contact. The thing that always sticks out to me is the Brett Favre honor game. It was against the Bears.
Yeah. 2015. Yep.
Was it Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving. Sure was. Yep.
Yeah. Final play of the game, Devontae ran a slant, didn't run through contact, and it was an interception.
Okay. So my question, of course, is do you see any of the signs here that suggest to you this could be salvageable?
I think if we're gonna pick one of the sophomore slumps to compare to Devontae, it's Dobbs.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'd agree with that. The thing is, Adams' problems were the hands, some lack of contact, but he still had his release when he was young. Like, he was still good at getting off the line, and he was still a good route runner. And I'm not sure what Dobbs does well now that is going to translate if some other stuff gets cleaned up. I don't think he's terribly fast. He's a decent contested catch guy, but he's not a natural route runner like Adams was. And drops are like a little bit of a problem for him, not like they are for a couple other guys on the team. But his hands aren't terrible. Like, I feel like he can make some marginal upgrades, but I don't think he's going to be like a true number one or Adamsy. The other thing with that is he's just not explosive at all. Like, he's averaging tight end numbers in terms of his yards per catch. Like, it's 10.4 for him, and that's like, you know, mediocre tight end yards per catch numbers. So I did do a big compare today. Second year Davante Adams was actually pretty close to as bad as Dobbs. So if you want to hold on to something, you got that going for you. It's just, I don't see a Dobbs skill there that's going to carry him if he improves on like a bunch of little things. Because somebody can tell me what that is, but I don't know what that is.
Oh, well, see, Dobbs is going to improve because people are going to start paying attention to Wicks. So then Dobbs
honestly, he might be a better slot receiver than he is an outside receiver, but that position's kind of taken, you know?
Yeah.
Like, air raid guys often are, because you get a little bit more of a clean release in the slot, but it's not going to be there for him. Reed's that guy, and unless he gets hurt, he's not doing that. And in any case, they don't seem inclined to put him there. So I think Dobbs is probably just a guy. Like, he looks like just a guy. He looks like Geronimo Allison to me. Like, that's my Dobbs like comp.
That's damning. Yeah.
That's damning. So faint praise, right? That's the phrase.
That's not faint praise. The Jordan Love evaluation. I still feel like, I mean, this was obviously one of his best games. Still feel like it wasn't great personally.
Okay. But also the overreactions to this game are ridiculous. Everyone's like, yeah, you know, Love showing flashes, like he could really be that guy. And it's like everybody was ready to crucify him for the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. But also he's just not, it's still not great.
It's like, not great.
I
like this game, but it's not great. That's the thing. Like, if this is your ceiling, it's still not good enough. I'll tell you what I do like. He overshot some guys.
There it is. Yeah,
they definitely coached that up during the week. And, yeah, and it actually kind of worked. And, you know, he hit some deep passes in this game too. Like the throw to Reed. Excellent. Beautiful. Loved it. I actually wrote a piece on how he couldn't throw deep passes last week that got lost in the shuffle and didn't get published, and had to add on a whole caveat to it because he threw some good ones in this game. So I'm happy about that. But, you know, it was still a good-ish, not great game. If it was a great game, like, look at C.J. Stroud great games. Like, it's like four touchdown passes. And
C.J. Stroud great games are the most yards ever thrown by a rookie quarterback.
Like, that's what an actual great game looks like. You get one of those every once in a while. Not like, oh, he threw two touchdowns and threw two picks that weren't really his fault, but still he threw two picks.
It's like, wow, Jordan Love's ceiling is a decent game from Kirk Cousins.
Exactly. So, yeah, it was good. There was some improvement. He threw some nice passes. He threw some deep balls, but still, I don't know what you do with that. Pittsburgh is a good defense. I guess that would be the other caveat. People don't really carve them up. And this performance maybe looks better if they're playing a mediocre defense versus like a top five defense, which is what Pittsburgh is.
Man, they are the team that's having the charmed season. The Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah, they are.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Regression to the mean, gonna stomp them something good next year.
Now semi charmed life is playing in my head. But not the Third Eye Blind version.
Oh.
There's cover by Dance Gavin Dance that is just phenomenal. Yeah. A+ would recommend.
Okay.
I want to give a shout out to Zach Tom because he's a boss.
He is.
I know
he's
going to
cost
once,
a lot of money, isn't he?
He's going to be expensive.
He's the best player on the team.
He might be.
You know, my favorite thing to point out is every time I'm at the bar, I'm like, hey guys, check it out. Zach Tom and Preston Smith are the same height and weight. And then people look and they go, oh, wow. Like they.
Yep. You know, Preston Smith's been really good too. Not one of the best players on the team territory, but like,
I mean, he's been good,
but
he's slow. Like,
he
couldn't catch Kenny Pickett.
No.
So Preston is actually not even that bad in coverage. We make fun of it whenever it happens, but he actually succeeds more often than not. It's like one of the better ideas. I like Preston Smith. He should go down as like a solid above average Packer contributor, like an Adrian Amos level, like Packer contributor.
I remember when they signed him. Like all of the articles about him were like, isn't this guy like a 3-4 DE? Like, what is he going to do? And I was like, well,
going to be good.
A lot.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah. Back in the era when they had the free agent class with Billy Turner, Preston Smith, Zadarius Smith, and Adrian Amos. Good times.
Yep.
Good times.
Better
it's
times.
Been a little downhill since then. Do we have anything else about this stupid ass game?
AJ was good. For like the second game in
AJ Dillon was good.
He had the longest rush of his career.
He did.
Right?
He did. That's true.
One of the
he looks different.
I think
in the last three games, something's up with him.
I wonder if he was hurt. I made a joke in the rundown about me. I wonder if he was hurt for the last 18 months. But I wonder if he was hurt like to start the season because he actually does look like a different player the last couple weeks. And it's not easy to run against Pittsburgh at all. So I think that was a pretty impressive performance. I also think Aaron Jones got concussed on like his third carry in this game. He got annihilated in the hole by, I think, Highsmith. And he looked really bad after that.
Yeah, I don't think there's a way he could have possibly looked worse. I've never seen Aaron Jones play that poorly and get caught and fall every time he got touched, you know, not a lot of contact, not a lot of extra yards. That was a really bad game, but fortunately for them, AJ Dillon was great, or, you know, not great, but he was
pretty darn good. Yeah. But I think that's kind of it. Like, they lost this game because it was a Joe Barry game. Offense played well enough to win, and Barry buried it along with Anders did not. Well, Anders is like a split problem because one of those was on Josiah DeGuerra. I mean, that's not his fault. But yeah, that's it. Should have won, but didn't. No, I'm not doing that. Sorry.
That's his name.
I don't care.
Anders has done way better than I thought he was going to do. I'm not going to complain about him. He's fine.
He had a bad game, man. He kicked a kickoff out of bounds.
And almost kicked the other. Kicked the first one almost out of bounds. Yeah. And then did kick the next one out of bounds. Something was up with him.
It was rough. Keyshawn, though, he was good. So,
yeah, he was. He took one back to, what, like the 50?
Yeah.
Definitely get a thrill out of the drone, not drone, the, you know, the overhead camera that they love to deploy.
Spider
CBS does. Yeah, during those kickoffs. I would normally not be in favor of them, but when Keyshawn Nixon is bringing it out to like the 35 at minimum, it's kind of nice. It's kind of fun.
It's cool.
Okay, Spider Cam is literally my wife's favorite part of football.
It's pretty cool. I get it.
When we went to Christmas Eve against the Vikings 2016, she was like, "Oh, there's Spider Cam!" Like,
one of these days that camera is going to interfere with the play.
It's
I don't
happened.
Know how.
It's happened.
Yeah, it's happened.
Has it?
It's happened. Yeah, it happened last season on a primetime game. I forget what happened. Like a pass hit it or something. Like it was.
I thought it was a
punt.
It was
a wire. Punt. It might have been the camera punt. Itself, yeah. But the wire. Oh, that's very funny.
We need drones. That's what we need. Like FPV, FPV flight kickoff drones.
Drone crashing into Zach Wilson's head mid-play.
Yeah.
I was in and out on this game. I was hanging out with some friends, and we weren't paying super close attention. But I got caught because Daniel Whelan on a punt. I thought Daniel Whelan had stuck his nose in there in the midst of a bunch of tacklers and brought the guy down. But who that was Dallin Leavitt. I got thrown by the single digit number, and I saw, I saw a white guy with a single digit putting his, making a tackle, like, yeah, Daniel Whelan. It's like, that's not Daniel. Not even close.
I bet you looked at the screen. You were like, he's wheeling and dealing. And
I did not say that.
Because I said that at some point this week.
I have a little bit of pride.
Yeah. I guess
I have none.
I guess we should mention we signed a cornerback who has Blue in his name, whose name I have forgotten and should have.
Oh no, his name's like Caillou, right? His name's like Caillou Blue.
Yeah, Caillou Blue. I think there's a third in there too. And also,
fun fact about PBS Caillou, he doesn't like have alopecia. He just doesn't deserve hair.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm really lost. What the hell just happened?
Kids are older than
he
mine.
He made a Caillou. Did you miss Caillou?
Oh, Caillou, like the French spelling. Like, C-A-I-L-L-O. Because I thought maybe we were doing Kaiju, like the creatures that come out of the sea, and I was super lost. Like alopecia.
No, so the person that they signed, his name is literally like K-Y-U.
Yeah.
I think is... Right.
That's why
I just like that JR just invented a bald French child that comes out of the sea and destroys the city.
Look, man, I would watch Caillou if he came out.
I will
of the
have
sea,
the
like,
AI creating moment.
Giving the content ideas away for free.
The last thing I want to mention is the Jets cut Michael Carter today. They're one backup running back, which means we're close to the Xavion Valade idea not working anymore. So everybody needs to get on that before he gets promoted off the practice squad. Anyway, let's do questions.
All right, we'll start with Mark Podskarby per usual. Speaking for the long-term outlook of the Packers, this game went pretty well, right? Young guys besides Watson played well, and the defense got thrashed, which is hopefully a step towards Barry getting fired. Would you agree?
That is the most optimistic spin possible for this. So, yeah, and it helped our draft position again. So I'm on board with that. I'm good on that.
Where are you? Left tackle with the top 10? What do you think? Receiver?
I think it's going to have to be a tackle because... Yeah.
They're never going to take.
They're not going to get a quarterback, and after Marvin, I think
Marvin Jones. Yeah, after he's gone,
the receiver Harrison. Being mocked to them. Marvin Harrison is Keon Coleman, and I ran ROPS today, and I don't want Keon Coleman because he's not actually very good. So yeah,
That's tough. Donald Anderson says, update, the Packers have gone 0 games since receiving a personal foul. Oh, so close. They saved it for the last play of the game. Shouts to Elton Jenkins. Serious Walt's going to be later. Paul's encouragement to try Spotify for podcasts each week has inspired me to create my own. So here is my question. Can I use Joe Barry as a Limp Biscuit as my podcast name? Don't worry. It won't be about football. It'll be about biscuits. Are there any salary cap efficiency metrics? If so, I'm guessing the Packers are horrible, right?
So... yes, you can use that name, especially if it's about Limp Bizkit. And there's not really a metrics for it, but like the metrics are just how much cap space are you using and how much dead cap you have. And just follow Engels for all that stuff. It's in a nice, ugly spreadsheet. And, it tells you the Packers are dead for the next 2 years. So, yeah, they're horrible. That's correct. The Aaron check came due. But at least we're better than the Saints because, man, oh, man, the Saints are paying Derek Carr until... he is the same age that Aaron Rodgers is now, which is not what you want to be doing.
Hey, guys, it's Bobby Bonilla Day.
Bobby Bonilla Day for the Saints never ends. Every day is Bobby Bonilla Day for the Saints.
I did a baseball thing.
You did. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I'm proud of you.
Also, by the way, I was going to say during the last question, I was messing with an AI image generator and made multiple Caillou as a Lovecraftian sea monster.
Of course you did.
Caillou the Kaiju. PJ Wessel says, what stat from this game is more shocking than having the opponent running EPA be higher than your pass EPA?
Almost all of them, honestly. That's not that shocking in the Barry era. That happens with some regularity. I always look for it and point it out. It shouldn't happen. You shouldn't be able to run for that high of an EPA. But yeah, I think that's probably it. Maybe Watson not catching his 5 final targets of the game. That's a good one. People run on the Packers all the time. The Packers are at the way bottom of the rush EPA defense chart. Way, way at the bottom of it. It's a problem. It's a known issue.
And they can't stop anybody.
Nope.
It's so frustrating. No, oh, they're bottling them up. Nope, 6 yards. Steven Kurtz, what would help Watson and Love the most? Watson being a healthy scratch, or keep running him out there for more of the same? Is this just growing pains like with Devontae? I mean, so we talked about that, obviously, but yeah. Is Watson healthy? Like, I know healthy scratch.
He might not
like,
be. He's hurt a lot, and I'm sure he's has some pressure to play through it all. So yeah. I think they could do him some favors by not making him try to run the whole route tree. Like, I think if Watson's going to be a complete receiver, it's like 3 or 4 years away. And the best way to use him is to use him kind of like they did last year, even if Jordan can't throw deep. Like, start getting him more jet sweeps, run it like basic slants where he has to make one read, where it's either a go or a slant, and just like take a couple of shots deep with him every game.
Well, and like, am I the only one who remembers that Calvin Johnson ran like 4 routes?
I mean, you're not, but yes, you can work
but
with
like,
that.
But like, I feel like, yeah, like, why can't we just do that? Like, hey, run a slant, run a hitch, do a mid crosser, and then run a go.
Yeah, like, he should be your third receiver. Like, your, I guess, Reed's your third receiver.
Your Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
He should be your MVS. You could make him, I think, a little bit better MVS if you use him correctly.
What's the was it Archon who came up with the nickname FCS MVS?
FCS MVS, yes. That was correct.
Archon is very popular this week.
Oh, boy.
Twitter, by the way.
Oh, my God. Should we talk about the advanced stat, Paul?
No. It's too inside a joke. That's boring.
Paul invented an advanced stat for Twitter rabble rousing.
Yeah.
It's
awful. That's exciting. Yep, I need to know more, but not right now.
No, it's that's
Ryan
that's
Ziegler.
Whole story right there. So you're good. Let's do Ryan.
There it is. Ryan Ziegler says this. Oh, shoot. Hold on. I needed to charge my phone and it demanded that I log back in. This play calling seems more confused than an Amish electrician. Matt should get a competent OC. Who and where from?
Doesn't matter. He's the OC. If you Matt.
Well, obviously he should get Nathaniel Hackett back because Rodgers won back-to-back MVPs and Hackett's off.
Oh, Aaron. Love Aaron press conferences. if your problem is with the offense, making Matt fire Adam Stenovich will not help things. Matt is the one who calls the plays. You just get a new coach at that point. That's your problem. Firing the OC is firing the batting coach in baseball. It is what you do when you know what the real problem is. Well, that's not even true in baseball. You often don't, but and you just can't fix it. So,
also send Steno back to O-line. Please.
Yeah, absolutely do that too.
Jonathan Deal, if I had a nickel for every family member called out a Packers quarterback, I'd have 2 nickels for 2 receivers, which isn't a lot, but it's weird. It's happened twice. My actual question is, would the Packers have an elite defense if the NFL banned running plays?
It wouldn't be elite, but it would be like a top half defense. Yes.
They'd get burned a whole bunch.
They're going to dominate the Olympic flag football.
Well, I mean they do kind of sell. So here's the thing that would happen is other teams would just sell out to stop the pass, and then the Packers would once again be one of the worst teams. But yeah, they're better at that. That's why they develop things. That's the only thing Barry's halfway decent at is stopping the pass. It would help.
Yeah, props to the Ballantyne-Valentine connection, but that happened because Kenny Pickett was in this game. I don't have faith in that going forward.
Nope.
But hey, it was okay. If Jair Alexander ever comes back, they might be okay at that again.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Ted Korth says, it's always easy to predict that the teams who have most recently won the Super Bowl will keep winning it. But what team that hasn't won the last 10 years will win a Super Bowl next? So to refresh, this takes the Chiefs, Rams, Buccaneers, Patriots, Eagles, Broncos, and Seahawks off the table.
Oh my God, is it the Lions?
It's a decent pick, but I still think Goff holds them back a little bit. But it's possible it's the Lions. I'll also go with Houston. I think that they have a pretty good chance. I think Stroud is for real. There's a good base there. They're going to be able to make the playoffs like 10 years in a row because the division blows. So I think that's a good setup for that to get done.
What a disaster for Bills fans. I mean, first you live in an era where they went to 4 Super Bowls and won none of them. And now you once again have generational talent, but an extremely good quarterback.
Yep.
And you get so close to the Super Bowl on multiple occasions. And Patrick Mahomes gets in the way. And then you slide backwards to the point that you're a 500 football team that can't even beat the Broncos on Monday Night Football.
Wow. I wonder where have we heard that before?
Yep.
Anyway, I'm sad for the Bills fans.
Also sad for the Bills fans.
No, I the word I would use is empathetic.
Yeah, empathetic, because the situations are eerily similar. Small town America, a lot of snow, great quarterback.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Except our boogeyman was San Francisco.
It's true. Patrick Detmer says, since it's now been established that Joe Barry is Limp Bizkit, an excellent comp, we should probably look back to their music catalog for insights into this year's Packers team. Given this week's performance of the Packers' run defense, if the opposing team comes out in a run-heavy personnel, can we be certain that the extent of Barry's pre-snap instruction to his linebackers and safety isn't just yelling at them to move in, now move out, hands up, now hands down, back up, tell me what you're going to do now?
Breathe in, breathe out. Hands up.
That is not Limp Bizkit.
No,
that
was back up. Tell me what you want to do. That is Limp Bizkit. That's the song Rolling.
Yeah, right. No, for sure. Yes. I thought you were going in a different direction. Yeah. I thought you were doing Machine Head.
You were doing Machine Head first.
No, I was not doing Machine Head. I was doing, okay.
You should have been. It's better than the rest.
I grew up on Limp Bizkit's later albums because I was too young for Did It All for the Nookie. But Chocolate Starfish and Hot Dog Flavored Water was regularly played in my Walkman.
That is the album that Nookie is on.
Yes, it is.
No. Chocolate Starfish and Hot Dog Flavored Water is not.
Yeah, sorry. Significant Other is the one that Nookie's on.
Oh, shoot,
yeah,
you're
but
right. Yeah.
Okay. Roland, both versions of Roland are on Chocolate Starfish.
Truly, truly one of the all-time worst bands of conceivably. But I went back because we talked about them. You talked about the Cowboy.
Did everybody go back and watch the Cowboy?
That wasn't a random one-off. That was the bit.
They're touring. Their touring is New Metal Cowboy. That's the name of the band now.
He looks like a country singer. And he's got a dad bod. He's got the country look down. And then his band comes around and he's singing. It's deeply upsetting. Limp Bizkit is deeply upsetting.
They should never have existed.
I can't believe they happened. I can't believe that was allowed to happen. There was this window where nu metal was the rage. Understandably, Korn got very big and there were other bands that fit the mold. And somehow Limp Bizkit chiseled their way in there with their absolute void of something to say.
Got Wu-Tang to collaborate with them. All kinds of fun stuff there.
Yeah. Well, it was the backwards red hat, right? That was the... Also, DJ Lethal, bring it on. That dude ruled.
Everybody had a DJ for a little while.
Yeah, that's
everybody
true.
Had a DJ. But also, if Joe Barry were a Limp Bizkit song, he would actually be the song Hot Dog. I want everybody to go look that song up. It's very vulgar.
Mm. Yeah.
He would not be rearranged because if he rearranged the defense, they would be better.
Am I the only one who sings Nepo Baby to the tune of Muppet Babies?
Yes.
Okay. JD says,
JR, I do it to Psycho Killer by the Talking Heads.
Oh, very good. Nepo Baby, qu'est-ce que c'est? Yeah.
Is that works so well, Paul.
Jesus. JD says, is Dontavian Wicks the real deal? Yes, JD. Feels like he should be getting more and more snaps every week. Mm-hmm. Call me crazy, but he reminds me a lot of Devontae. Not saying he'll be Adams, but the way he plays and his measurables. That's well observed, I think.
That is correct. He is good, and we've been touting him because all of his underlying advanced stats have been good the whole time. He gets open a lot. He gets open better than everybody else does on the team. And when you watch just Dontavian Wicks, I think that's a good comp. He runs like Devontae. He has that release. He is very smooth off the line, and he just nobody else really moves like Devontae. Dontavian Wicks is one of the only guys I've ever seen do it. So I'm very optimistic on him, and I think he got something there. I think he's going to be a good one.
Dontavian Wicks reminds me a lot of I don't know if you gentlemen have ever been into like autocross
I don't even racing. Know what it is.
It's like it's basically like you race cars in a parking lot with cones, but it's all handling. And okay. the very famous phrase in situations like that is slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
All right.
And that is very much Dontayvion Wicks. Everything he does isn't necessarily with a suddenness, yet it ends up being fast
yeah,
the
all
way
right.
he does.
I get that. This segment of the podcast reminds me very much of the Fire Joe Morgan Superbike article. And if you don't know what that is, go read it. It'll make your day.
Richard Proctor says, last week I saw two teenage children that looked exactly like Brian Gutekunst, hairdo included. It was extremely disconcerting. My question is, how much does practice matter? It's not zero, but also the Packers D practiced against a Hall of Fame quarterback for like 3 decades. Wouldn't you expect practicing against the Rodgerses of the world to better prepare you for the Cousinses of the world?
It matters a lot. It matters a ton. And the practice cadence of the NFL has changed drastically over like the last 20 years or so with limitations on contact in practice yeah. and things like that. And getting the most out of your practices is immensely important. And we don't have any data on what going up against the quality of the opposing half of your team does to you. But I suspect kind of a lot. Like you don't have all the time to do sims properly and all that. And you know, you get used to a ball going, you know, X miles an hour, and then you get to a game and it's X plus 10. That stuff matters. Like, people not being in the right place, that stuff matters too. And, yeah, I think it actually is a kind of a big deal. I think it's underrated, and it would be better for the league in terms of the product on the field if they kind of went back to the old ways of practice more than they have now.
But you got to remember, the Packers have that super advanced jugs machine that can just be Aaron Rodgers.
Haven't heard much of that this year, have we?
I know, we haven't heard anything about it.
I had not thought about that, but that's a really interesting point, a good point, I think. I love that our question askers are now like just, instead of doing question sub question, they're just fitting in random observations. I love this Brian Gutekunst. Some teenagers that look like Brian Gutekunst. Okay. Dutchboy5 says, I'm kind of mad that Jordan Love played okay against what I think is a pretty good defense. I was just getting used to him not being good and accepting we should move on. Now he does this. Still has a lot more to show, but have to give him props for that performance. The real test will be how many more of these kinds of games does he have left this year? Question is, how many more of these performances does he need to keep his job for next year?
Actually, a pretty good question. Because he has been... Jordan Love has not been terrible this year. I think our general consensus among the three of us is just his ceiling's not quite high enough, right? Like he's maybe like a top 15 quarterback if all things fall into place, but probably not like a top eight quarterback, right? And that's a hard call for front offices because you don't want the 15th best quarterback in football. That's death. That's a terrible place to be. But it's also hard to tell a guy like, sorry, you weren't good enough and you weren't bad enough, so go away. So it probably is good enough to get him back for one more year because more than anything, they're probably not going to be drafting an obvious heir apparent unless they totally tank the rest of the season really hardcore. So I think if he maintains this level, he'll probably be the starter next year at least. And
I honestly think even if they manage to fall into the tankathon and get one of the two, you still see Love starting at least half the games next year.
Yeah,
regardless
maybe
of how poorly he plays. Because he's locked up. That's the thing.
Like, well, he's not locked up. They could cut him next year. It wouldn't matter.
But I'm saying like he's on the roster more or less.
Yeah, that's true.
Could he get to like a Ryan Tannehill?
No.
Nah. You don't think so?
He's a different
kind of quarterback. I don't think he can get to Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, man, that's harsh. I mean that's then cut him because like that's not even top 15. That's like right below top 15.
I think you can coax a Tanny out of him. I think it small sample size, but I like that he actually responded to some coaching this week and actually did make that deep ball go a little bit more. And like if you can get that working, like if you make him like a down the field guy in both throwing bullets and throwing bombs, You can work with that to be something, but I mean Ryan Tannehill's still like, what are you doing with that? Like you're not gonna do any damage with that.
No, but if you build a team around him, you can scheme that. You can work with that like the Titans have. in the past, though it's difficult to sustain.
It is.
Ted Johnson, which Wisconsin sports team had the best week, Badgers, Brewers, or Packers?
The Meteor.
It's the Packers by leaps and bounds.
It is the Packers.
They looked good against a decent defense and didn't lose draft position and showed off some young talent and got Joe Barry closer to being fired. Question one, Pat Scarby, good job. You just answered most of the questions.
Question. So I saw some Cubs fans were upset about the council.
Oh,
hiring.
Yeah. People are dumb about managers.
Okay.
This is the thing nerds are better at than regular fans by leaps and bounds. There was a lot of like, oh, council hasn't won anything. Yeah, he hasn't because he manages the Brewers. That's why he hasn't won anything.
Yeah, I did see a lot of takes that were like, he is a regular season manager. He can't handle the playoffs.
It's because all their players are bad. That's why he can't handle the playoffs. Like, there's no way to suddenly, like, when your best hitter is Mark Canna, like, you can't, like, scheme your way into a good offense in the playoffs against elite pitching. It's not how this works.
I mean, I was legitimately excited about Carlos Santana. Like, what does that say?
Oh, I mean, it's fun. Yeah. Fun guy. Fun name.
That's the problem, is he is legitimately worth getting excited about. Yep. That's a problem.
It is.
He hits 245, and I'm hyped that they see.
Yeah. K-Time 7, is Joe Barry's defensive success predicated on an offensive holding penalty on every drive? We look pretty good against 3rd and 18 in the third quarter, still from the sticks, no less.
Kind of is. Like, Joe Barry, I'm glad you asked this question, because I meant to add it into an earlier Joe Barry question, and I forgot. Joe Barry's overall numbers look not that bad this year, especially, like, points allowed and things like that. But a lot of that is pace, and a lot of that pace is because it's so easy to run on the Packers. Like, Pittsburgh ran 36 times in this game, or something like that. I don't have it in front of me, and I don't care. 30-plus times. Like, that's going to drain the clock, and that's going to limit the number of possessions, and that's going to artificially reduce the number of points you give up, even though, from an efficiency standpoint, it doesn't work at all. And, yeah, they get bailed out by random penalties with some regularity, and all teams do, but when you're limiting the possessions in a game because your run defense sucks, it like looks better than it is. So there's a lot of noise in here where the Packer defense is actually being bad, but it's kind of helping their points per game anyway, because it's also limiting the offensive possessions. Like, that's how that works on the flip side. So it would be a good exercise for me to do in the offseason to figure out how much EPA they lost on holding penalties, and maybe I will, but it's a lot. It's a big deal. It's helped them a ton.
What number did you rectally extract for their rushing attempts?
I said 36, but I think 36. That might be
a... That is it. It all is right. 36.
I'll watch the game and knows the stuff.
36 for 205.
I have to see it three times and still don't remember it.
Two touchdowns.
Not great.
Packers were 24 for 116.
Mark Putscarby's got another one. Okay, I have a second question based on Matt LaFleur's answer regarding linebackers being down linemen. Is this legitimately a scheme issue? What schemes do the best defenses in the NFL run in similar situations? Are we abnormal in the amount of two defensive linemen looks that we get?
Yes. In similar situations, if you do only have 400 pounds of linebacker total, you don't have them play nine technique outside of the tight ends.
Yes, other teams have run-stopping, if not specialists, like guys who can do a little of each, who can rush the pass not horribly, but also stuff the run. And you sub them in obvious rundowns. Like, you still have to be able to defend the pass a little bit in obvious rundowns. You don't want to get, like, completely smoked, but you have to defend the thing that's most likely to happen. And every other team in the NFL has heavies to bring in that situation, and does, and we just don't do it. It's ridiculous.
You're either a smart fella or a fart smella. Is the ideal outcome through the rest of the season one where the Packers lose every remaining game while averaging 30 or so points on offense per? Then we could feel good about the general direction of things while still getting the DC fired and getting a high pick.
Yeah.
This seems to be a recurring theme.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, that would be the best.
That is the best thing that could happen from a universal perspective. That's it. Yes, absolutely.
Matt Pickett says, to the eye, it looks like Luke Musgrave is getting better and better. But does this bear out when looking at it with statistics and such? Also, what do you think Christian Watson's chances of becoming a great receiver are?
Well, Christian Watson has two chances of becoming a great receiver. They are slim and none.
I think there's The athleticism is still very good. I do feel like if you just do the Calvin Johnson route tree with him, you might hit on it still. It's possible. It's not looking great, I'll give you that, but there's still probably a 5% chance baked in there that he could still turn it around. But yeah,
Luke Musgrave is on. He's on pace to break like every Packers rookie tight end record, right?
Well, yeah, but they're all horrible.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, he's on pace.
Yeah, but he's getting into the territory where it's a very good tight end season since the turn of the century.
Yeah.
That's not non-Jermichael Finley.
All right. But Bob Tonyan had a great tight end season.
Really, really quick, okay? This is all Peter Bukowski's fault, so let's yell at him for a second. last week, before this last game happened, he tweeted that Luke Musgrave was on pace to not just break all Packer tight end records, but actually break the Packer rookie reception record currently held by Sterling Sharp. And that is true. It's 55, and he was on pace for 56, maybe 54, 55, whatever. And B, pointless and stupid, because at the time Peter wrote that, Luke Musgrave was averaging like 9 yards a catch, and Sharp was averaging like, you know, a Sharp level per catch and being a real
receiver.
Yeah,
it was like 16 or something, right? Like,
and Musgrave was getting all these targets because this team doesn't have like a de facto number one receiver and targets have to go somewhere. However, over the last two games, Luke Musgrave has turned into a legitimately dangerous, like, deep threat tight end, which he should have been all along. And now might actually set records that are worth it. But like, there's only been like four Packer rookie tight ends ever who've had more than like 26 catches in a season. And it's like Richard Rodgers and a guy that got cut after two seasons. I don't remember. Matt's smiling. I don't have that spreadsheet up anymore because it was stupid. But Musgrave's going to shatter the hell out of those, yeah. And that's fine. He's actually gotten good. And his blocking has improved. He has developed. That's all we're looking for here, development. Musgrave's
I just can't
better.
Believe you're forgetting the first-round tight end.
I need more.
Mercedes
Bubba Franks.
Lewis?
Oh. It was Bubba Franks,
it was Bubba,
man.
Yeah, you're right. Was he first
all
round?
All he does is catch touchdowns.
Yeah, he was.
He was
taking mid-first, man.
Oh,
wait,
man.
Florida State or Miami? I think Florida State.
I thought he was Miami.
Miami.
We'll get a Google
somewhere.
Map.
Somewhere down there.
You're right. Bubba holds all the records. You're right about that.
First round pass catcher, baby.
Man,
Bryce Trotzen.
A lot of Bubbas have played in the NFL. You can't, if you put Bubba in, he's not who pops up at first at all. Not even close.
Well, who is the Houston Oilers defensive lineman who is so good?
We're talking Bubba's?
Yeah.
Well, we got Bubba Smith. That one I know off the top of my head.
Is that the one I'm thinking of?
He was a Cowboy, wasn't he?
Yeah, I'm thinking of an Oiler. Whatever. I could be mixed.
He was an Oiler. You're right, I'm wrong. Who am I thinking of?
Oh, very good. I win.
Yeah. Man, I totally forgot that. Bubba Smith was in, like, Married with Children a bunch of times as Al Bundy's rival, so.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Bryce Trotzen says, with the Packers having some winnable games on the schedule, possibly blowing the... possibly blowing the Packers' top 10 draft pick chances. What are the odds that they do the Rockaway and trade
back?
My JR 90s sub question is, what 90s band did you see before they got big? I saw the 311 No Doubt show at Shank Hall, but due to many beers, I don't really remember much of the 311 set, to be honest.
Do you want to go first or second?
I don't even know if the Packers do have a lot of winnable games. It gets really hard going forward, because the Lions on Thanksgiving,
yeah.
The Chiefs with Taylor Swift hopefully in attendance at Lambeau Field.
Not winning that.
I don't have any faith that they're going to beat the Vikings. So what's I don't know. I think their top 10 draft status is happening.
They have the Giants. They probably win that game.
Is that game not going to get flexed? Are they really going to put a national?
They got
the Giants Packers. Like, I know those are two big brands, but come on.
Maybe they're playing for hilarity at this point. But yeah, they got to flex it. So they do have the Giants and the Panthers, and those I think are two that they probably win. But that's kind of it. I think that's it.
Bryce Young is short and worse. Jordan Love.
Yep.
He is not good.
Yep. He's bad. He's
super
very bad. That was bad. Bad trade, Carolina. You wrecked the NFC North.
Screwed that up.
Yeah.
Roll Tide.
JR, see anybody in concert before they were cool?
Oh, you know, not really. That's a really. I wasn't much of a concert goer when I was in high school. I really didn't start going to concerts until the end of high school, and so that's essentially the end of the 90s, so we're getting out of that era. I don't know really if I've seen any bands that got big. I saw a couple bands that were a little below the radar that I really liked and would go see again, like Local H, for example.
Local
H, I think most
fun.
People know who that is. Yeah. I mean, I certainly didn't see them before they were big. I still don't think they are very big, but they are incredible. They're one of the best live bands I've ever seen. I don't really have a good answer to that, actually. So,
yeah, growing up as a teenager in Milwaukee, I mainly went to Summerfest to see concerts when I was a teenager. And Summerfest mostly has washed up people, or did at that point, who are fun to see, but, you know, who are well past their prime, at least on the free stages and whatnot. And the one I can boast about was not 90s. It was, I think, Zeros, just barely, which is I saw the Strokes open for the Doves before they had album at the 7th Street Entry in Minneapolis, which is the small venue attached to First Ave, and they played six songs off of their not yet released album, and they were wasted as hell and could barely play their instruments. So, and they were being talked up hugely at the time, and they were awful. And Jody and I were like, "That's not going to go well." But then it did, so good for them.
See, all my answers are 2000s bands because I'm younger than you guys.
You're allowed. You're allowed to go that way.
So like Chiodos, one of the biggest emo bands of the mid-2000s era, I went to high school with them, and they were playing at the Flint Local like regularly, and it was crazy. Like, just one summer, like, they couldn't even get a set at the Flint Local. They were called the Chiodos Bros at the time, and then they were on MTV like the next summer. I've also seen a lot of bands that were like super groups that kind of failed. You guys ever heard of Another Animal?
Yeah. Nope. Yes.
It is everyone from Godsmack except the lead singer, and then the lead singer from Ugly Kid Joe.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that.
We talked about that already. Yep.
Did we talk about that? Okay.
I saw
Alter Bridge. I saw them on their debut tour.
Yeah. I did see a band that was supposed to make it but didn't, which was I saw Idlewild play at Union South at Madison when I was in college, and they played Letterman the next night, and then they were never heard from again, ever, in the history of the world.
Oh,
so,
that's sad.
It is.
I do feel like Lucky Boys Confusion came to Valparaiso.
Oh, they're kind of fun.
They are fun. They're very Chicago, and I think maybe we're already big enough that I can't really say I saw them before they got big. And I don't even know if you count what they did big. I quite enjoyed them.
Medium big.
All right. No good answers for that one. Sorry. Good question. Scarf21, assuming this was a truly light bulb going off moment for Jordan Love and that he is able to continue making progress, what would be more helpful for him when the draft rolls around, a first-round OL or a first-round wide receiver? I guess we've kind of already talked about
this. Ah, tough one, actually. I think OL, but I think you could go either way. If it's Marvin, I think that helps a lot, but it probably won't be. And the offensive line is in need of some shoring up. So you can't go wrong with it. I mean, you can, Tony Mandarich, but tackle's a good safe bet. And that works. But either one would be good.
Yeah. Mattingly Sideburn says, what is your guess for what LaFleur thinks the 3-4 refers to in the 3-4 defense? Do you think LaFleur learned his definition of down lineman by watching cut-ups of Vince Beagle at nose tackle? Oh man, that's savage! Savage! It's such a good question.
I mean, I don't think we can really answer it other than I would recommend checking out the Vince Beagle description of his experience as an NFL player that he tweeted out.
It's awful.
Because it's awful and a good view into what it is like to be an NFL player and why that pick didn't work out and, you know, why he was really, really, really hurt.
Was LaFleur being genuine when he talked about classifying?
You know, I read it but didn't hear it, so I don't
He was – he legitimately was upset that people were saying two down linemen with four guys on the line of scrimmage.
I mean, he's not a dumb man. Like, we know this. So he's either being a little disingenuous. Well, okay. He's either being disingenuous or he's got like a weird misunderstanding of what people are saying.
No, but
I don't
like,
know, man.
You know the phrase loyal to a fault? That is literally Malafleur.
Yeah.
It's a weird one to have to explain,
man. It's
been a rough year. Yeah.
It's been a rough year for our guy. Shark McCarthy, lost in the social media shuffle between down lineman gates and the Watson family Twitter wars. Aaron Jones' twin brother called the Packers coaching horrible in a now deleted tweet and retweeted some posts criticizing other Packers players. Is this noteworthy or just another example of a player's family lashing out on Twitter after their relative had a bad game? Also, is Aaron Jones declining?
Well, we just already established that he likely had tapioca brain.
Yeah. He's had a pretty good season, but he probably is declining. He's 29, and
And also, Alvin would do him a service by shutting up.
Yeah,
but never. Tweet. I mean, that's the rule.
Never tweet.
That is always the rule. And I mean, this is going to sound heartless, but like his days with the Packers are numbered.
Yeah.
So, discontent wise, like if there is discontent, I don't know how worried the Packers are going to be about that.
Probably not
at all. Now is the winter of our discount tents. All right, this is how it's going to work.
Our discount running back, because they're not going to pay that man anymore.
Off, nope. Off the top of your head, do you guys know the last time the Packers gave a third contract to a skill position player?
No.
Like I legitimately.
How can it not be Aaron Rodgers? Or you think there's one more recent than that?
I'm saying skill position, like not the quarterback.
Oh, not sure,
quarterback.
Sure.
Ball carrier.
No, I get it. What did Devontae end up with? Just the two?
Didn't Nelson get three?
Nelson probably got three.
Yeah, Nelson got like a vet minimum or something, right? Like that was after his ACL tear. Legitimately, it is difficult to think about the Packers giving a third contract.
Well, Aaron's not going to get a third contract. That's just not going to happen. His days are numbered. He's a running back.
I think James Jones got three contracts.
He probably did, technically. Well,
he left and came back.
That's what I'm saying. He got a third contract. They even threw in a hoodie. Yep. It was a good deal for him.
Also, like if Jones is, I think, 6 months younger, he probably scores a touchdown on that pass and doesn't get caught from behind.
Oh. Clearly, Joel Osment.
How old was Donald Driver in the 49ers game when he broke like 18 tackles?
He was really old, I'm pretty sure.
Clearly, Joel Osment says, how many complete performances need to be strung together to show that this team is actually learning or growing? What are the best metrics to quantify this? So we did kind of touch on this as well.
And like growth can be just two or three. Three is a trend, as we established. And I think metrics to quantify it are on a person-by-person basis. And like with Musgrave, I do think yards per completion is probably the one you look at. Like you want to see him doing damage down the field. With Reed, he has been doing damage down the field. He caught all five of his targets in this game. And I think hands are a good one for him. He's had trouble in the past having a large catch radius. He has had the drops. And he's had a couple good games in a row of not having that be a problem and catching some good tough contested ones. Wicks is just good. So it's just playing time for him. And Watson is, I guess, just not causing turnovers and catching the ball. and offensive line, who knows? But Dobbs is yards per completion, too, or even yards per attempt. He just needs to be, he needs to do more with the catches he gets.
Yeah. I found myself thinking about what it would take for me to believe that Jordan Love is the quarterback of the future by the end of the season. I don't know if that's achievable at this point, but it probably still is. You know, I don't worry as much about the skill guys because they're interchangeable. You know, like if Christian Watson or Romeo Doubs aren't getting it done, they'll fill those voids. Yeah. But Love is just that, like, that's the only thing that really matters to me in terms of improvement and showing. And
like, if he starts hitting two deep shots a game or even just putting them on hands, then I start to get a little more excited. That's what
Settle for one. Like I'd settle for hitting a guy in stride. That's why the Musgrave pass I really liked, but I would settle for just a downfield hit a guy in stride. That's every pass still, not everyone because he overthrew guys this week, but like the majority of his completions are when people have to come back and dive forward or move forward to get the ball. And it would just be nice see something else.
And so really quick. He almost had a 300 yard game. I feel like against any other defense, he probably gets it. And I do kind of wonder, like, if he get, like, that streak is so long. If he does that, and if he does it, like, maybe 2 weeks in a row, then maybe it piqued my interest a little bit. Like, okay, all right, let's see where this goes.
No, yeah. I need 400 yards and three touchdowns against a playoff team. That's what I need.
Okay.
All right.
I'm saying, like I'm going to think that he's doo-doo butt cheeks until I see that.
Fair.
Yeah, at some point you have to outperform. It can't just be finding the right matchup. It's overperforming against a team that's better than you. That's greatness in quarterback. All right, we're on to blue sky questions. Darren Watkins, did Love have his Brett Hundley in Pittsburgh game? Remember when he had the game of his life in 2017 at Heinz Field? Or are there real takeaways from this game that show that he's improving and there's a reason for optimism moving forward towards a contending team with him at quarterback? So again, this is something we've talked about. Most of the season, I have been thinking of Brett Hundley, and I've been thinking this is a little bit comparable. I do think we've gone past that. Like he is better than Brett Hundley.
Well, first of all, it's not comparable because Brett Hundley's one of the best athletes to ever play quarterback.
Yep.
Look it up.
He is. Mike McCarthy
just didn't know how to use him. Okay.
Well, he's also a bad quarterback, game. Matt.
Yes, he's a bad quarterback.
Slow read guy. Much worse than Jordan, though. JR's right.
Yep. But I think it's a bit of a misnomer. Do you guys remember that game?
Not at all. Not even a little. I blacked out that whole season.
2017 was a year?
So Hundley had a very love Ian stat line. So he went 17 for 26, or 17 of 26 for 245 yards and 3 touchdowns. However, all but 97 of those yards came on 3 passes.
Oh, no.
So he had a 39-yard pass to Randall Cobb. He had a 54-yard pass to Jamal Williams, which you know was not a deep shot.
I would guess both of them were the runner doing most of the work, yes.
And a 55-yard pass to Devontae.
So okay. That is not the same as this game, though.
No, it's not.
At all. Like, so not comparable. Like, he spread the ball around to receivers in this game. Honestly, Watson did him dirty. Most of his incompletions were to Watson. This game looks a lot better if you just remove him from it. And this was a legitimately good passing game for the most part, I think. This is not the Hundley game where he's helped out a lot. The read throws were good. They were really good. The Watson thing is good.
Okay, so what's the metric? If you throw every pass in the dirt, you get a 32 passer rating?
Whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure his targeted passer rating on Watson this game was 0.
I'm sure it was 0 at least.
So, yeah, you were absolutely right. Just take Watson out. I think it's a better game.
Mike Cornhill, Copia Bischoff. Is the Blue Sky account. Why do they list 3 down linemen as starters when they only play 2 pretty much all game long?
Tradition. I mean, that's the answer, isn't it?
Are we still a 3-4 team? Is that?
Yeah, we are. Mm. We're a 3-4 team. We have, I mean, we play nickel, but yes.
What do those numbers mean again?
Nothing. I mean, nothing.
All right, GB stage at Blue Sky. What are most of the teams that are looking to have a shot at Williams or May in next year's draft? This is, of course, Caleb Williams or Drake May, have invested in first-round quarterbacks recently. Would any of those quarterbacks, Fields, Jones, Murray, etc., be worth kicking the tires on if they are cast aside?
Daniel Jones is dead, and so no.
Also, Daniel Jones is just tall Justin Fields.
Yeah, and Justin Fields, nobody wants to deal with that.
Short Daniel Jones.
Yeah, short Daniel Jones, slow processor. Maybe somebody who's not the Bears can fix him, but I don't. Kyler Murray is not terrible. I'm just, I don't want that either.
He's so little.
He's so little. Excuse me. He's so little. It's late in the podcast. Just tiny.
Yeah. Jake Frost said, since the 90s are making a comeback, I propose we bring back the Nickelodeon moon shoes and strap them to Christian Watson's feet to help him with jump balls. What other 90s inventions would help improve this team?
I'm pretty sure. Okay. Do you guys remember Slam Ball?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember why Slam Ball ended?
No.
Because a dude missed the trampoline and broke his foot off.
Oh.
His foot came off.
That's gross.
That's what would happen if Christian Watson used moon shoes. He would break his foot off.
Yeah, he wouldn't, because moon shoes break after 5 minutes. That's the thing.
He lacks the body awareness to properly use them.
Those also wouldn't help him. Like, his problem isn't jumping high. He can jump high. It's timing on jumping high and stopping running when he should stop running. He needs, like, just a full exoskeleton, basically, with someone else controlling him. That's what would help him.
Also, I'm thinking Nickelodeon slime, if the defense could put it on to the running back, I think that we would do pretty well.
I love the moon shoes in the Christmas catalogs back in the day, though. It always looked like they'd be so much more fun than they actually are. I have a bunch of old Sears catalogs because I used to work at Sears, and I bought them in the bankruptcy auction. And Sears used to sell a zip line that you could install in your house, like from tree to tree, like a homemade my favorite thing.
Oh, God. How many broken collarbones do you think came out of that?
Just a million. I can't believe it's in the catalog. It's very high risk. Do not install your own zip line in your backyard.
All right, last one here. The Wizard of Loneliness. Packers defense is 11th in yards per game and 11th in points per game. Do the advanced stats match the box scores? Does it matter?
They do not.
They don't match, and nothing matters. Eat Arby's.
They don't match because of pace. Pace and defensive adjustments. The Packers have played very few good offenses, and they play at a slow pace, and they play defense at a slow pace, which is a dumb thing to say, but it's true. So that's it. Their points per game is almost entirely useless in terms of a metric for them. Just pulling up DVOA they're currently 23rd in defensive DVOA, which isn't actually super terrible, but still pretty bad. They're down a spot from last week, and against the run, let's see, DVOA lives at a different place now. That's horrible to deal with. So only 22nd against the run. Their EPA per play is much worse against the run than their DVOA is for some reason. But yeah, they're bad. They're bad at defense. They're twice as bad as their point stats say they are.
Okay, all right, guys, we're done. We have reached the end.
Woo! Hooray for that.
That was crisp. That was crisp for us.
It was. Well, nicely done. Kept good pace.
It's like it's still over an hour.
Better pace than the Packers.
Just like the Packers. Yeah. It's all about pace.
Before we go, JR, do you have anything good out there? I enjoyed hearing about your high school, your prep football memories of weird games, and especially the over the back game-winning touchdown and the 80-82 game. So I would recommend those things, even if they were just tweets.
Well, there is a little more to it. So it is a big week for prep football. Actually, for me, I'll be hitting the road Thursday and Friday, staying overnight in Madison and all that to cover the state final football games, 7 games, 4 on Thursday, 3 on Friday at Camp Randall Stadium. I'll be doing the live blog for the Journal Sentinel, so you'll be able to get live updates from those games. If you have a vested interest, there are 3 Milwaukee area teams that are involved, but a lot of familiar programs from around the state, Darlington, Stratford, Edgar, Blackhawk, even, who's playing Edgar, like Aquinas. These are teams that have done very well in the past, and they are once again back at state. They will be familiar to a lot of people. Also a couple first timers, Badger at Lake Geneva, Luxembourg Casco, which staged the big upset. So I'll be doing that. And in the meantime, ramping up, writing about high school football participation. That story should pop Wednesday morning. Also, like you said, there's my rundown of 25 great high school state finals involving Milwaukee area teams. Some of those games are absolutely redonkulous. I was there for a good chunk of them. Many of them are before my time, but there are some wild ones there that I got to see firsthand. So I wrote about all that stuff. And high school football the Brewers should be announcing a new manager, Pat Murphy, at some point this week. So we'll have some coverage of that as well. But other than that, that's what we got.
All right. Very nice. Matt, how about you?
Still writing betting content at Acme Packing Company. And as always, visit lymphoma.org, donate to lymphoma research, call your best friend, tell them you love them, open your best bottles. Yep.
Indeed, do that. I wrote a
and
ton.
And shouts to Archon for tearing apart Buck's Twitter this week. Well,
Agent of Chaos, Archon, if nothing else, is that for sure.
Yes.
Brings the stat game to it. As for me, I wrote a ton this week. I got a thing at the Shepherd Express recapping this game. I wrote about how Jordan Love can't throw deep. I wrote about how Romeo Doubs is overrated because of his touchdowns. And I'm also going to be on Hey, We Like Your Pod on Thursday this week. So go check that out. And I think I'm also on As Goes Wisconsin this week. So I'm just going to be a very busy person. So go check all that stuff out. And I have the mini pod on Friday, of course. And next week is Thanksgiving. Who knows if this will happen or not next week, actually. I am going to have to squeak this in, but we'll see. But enjoy the... we didn't even talk about the Chargers at all. That'll be for the mini-pod. Enjoy the Chargers game, and we'll be back next week to recap whatever the hell happens there. Don't put so hard. Nothing is ever easy. And this town that you take for granted, it's a gift from God. Don't pass it off. Nothing is... ever is it? Are you ready to work real hard? Are you tired? It's just a start. Listen to me, son, I'll take you far. You can call it anything you want, but the fact remains the same. I never got to be your best friend. You can lie to yourself and all your friends, pretend that you don't care. The circumstance gets in the way. Heel toe, side to side again.